the Lord has seen fit to call Brother Caldwell and that to pastor that church up at Maryville. And I'll tell you, I really wanted to call y'all and tell you that he's just hitting on three cylinders. I really did, that y'all don't need to call him. Well, don't call him. That's what I really wanted to say. And he said, Lord, don't do that, whatever you do. And I really wanted to call up there and say that. But me and my wife had talked about y'all a lot, even prior to Mount Tabor calling you. And we knew we weren't going to get to keep you. We understood that. Let me say before I get started tonight, as much as you needed this church, we needed you all. At the time that y'all come, y'all showed up at a great time. And boy, we made quick friends. And we're just so glad that we got to know y'all. And just so glad that we just for a short period of time got to be part of your life. And you got to be part of our church life. We're so glad of that tonight. And glad that God lets you be our friend. And I plan on being your friend from now to the end. But I sure am glad God let us get acquainted and get to know one another. I really am tonight. And you'll never know what you mean to me and to my wife and to this church and the help that you all been and the time that you've been here. It's been a great help to me. You have filled in for me when I've been sick, when I've called you out of the hospital, when I've been in the hospital and said I need you to preach for me on Easter Sunday morning and get ready to go. And boy, we appreciate that more than anything. But to ordain means to set apart. It means to establish in a particular office or order, or it means to prepare. And tonight, or this evening, these men sitting up here and myself, we're going to tell you that we love you and tell you what we think, that the Bible says what we know the Bible says, and we can try our best to get you ready to do your job. But if you'll follow the Lord, He's the one that will get you ready to do what you need to do. And I told my wife, I said, there is so much that I want to say while I'm preaching. She says, you take him aside and say some of it privately, or we'll be here all night. And so I'm going to try to heed to my wife tonight as a good Baptist preacher, and I'm going to try to leave some of it to private. And I've already talked to you about a lot of things in private, but to ordain means to set apart or to establish for an office. Now tonight, before I get started, I do want to read the qualifications and that for a pastor. I think it's good that we know these things and do these things to understand what God expects out of His man. You have to understand that you are in a particular position and you're in a very important position. When you look at the word pastor through the Bible, it is interchangeable and that with the word elder. A lot of times it's interchangeable and that with the word bishop. And the word bishop being mean the one that has oversight, and the elder being the one that demands respect, and the word pastor means to be a shepherd. Can I tell you tonight, when you fulfill that role as being a pastor, it is a position that demands respect. First of all, from you. If you don't respect the position of being a pastor, your people will never respect it either. If you don't go in and that and take the oversight, as Peter said, take an oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, somebody else will take the oversight. And it's your job to shepherd those people tonight. The Bible says in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3 that this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. So in other words, we find out tonight it's work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetousness, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest he being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. We look in the book of Titus chapter 1. The Apostle Paul gives us in that just a little more insight, or more insight if I say that. Titus chapter 1, he said in verse 7, for a bishop must be blameless. Notice that he started both of those to be blameless. Don't ever be in the blame. If you do something wrong, you fix it. Listen, don't stand in blame. Don't do something wrong and then not take care of it. You need to get it fixed. And he said tonight, for he must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate. And I think these are the things that you should in that exhibit in your life tonight. And I'll be honest with you tonight, Brother Caldwell, I believe that you have exhibited those things while you've been here. You've exhibited in that to try to live above reproach. I've talked to you. I know. I've seen your life. And let me say, that's good for all of us tonight to do too, is to live in a place that is above reproach. We should not be able to be blamed. And we can go on through here and we can talk about all these, but I'll get stuck on these tonight if I ain't careful. And I didn't really want to preach on these qualifications, but God does set some qualifications aside. Let me say this, that old preacher told me one time. He said, son, he said, there are things that my church people can do and come and get to the altar and get forgiveness, and they can go back and they can live their life right on. He said, we can do the same thing. We can come to the altar and get forgiveness, but we cannot live our life same on sometimes because we're going to disqualify ourselves and that in the ministry. He was at Archippus over there. He said to take heed to the ministry. Listen, you've got a ministry in pastoring this church. She's going to be a good help in that ministry. And so you need to let her help you tonight. But I want to look in Acts chapter 28. And here's what we want to preach at tonight. Or Acts 20 and verse 28. Taking our thought from here. We've talked about, just real quickly, talked about the bishop, how he has the oversight. We talked about the elder, how he demands respect there for just a minute. But I want to talk about the pastor tonight. Talking about the man who in that shepherds the flock. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the apostle Paul told the church, he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you again for this wonderful day that you've given us. We thank you for this special service. And Lord, as in one aspect it is heartbreaking, but in another there is great joy, Lord, to know that the Caldwells are going on to fulfill your will and doing what they need to do for you. And Lord, as much as we'll miss them, we sure wouldn't want them to stay and be out of your will. And Lord, as we preach a little while this evening, we pray that you'd give us an unction from the Holy One, anoint us afresh from heaven, for we certainly need you tonight. And Lord, what I know is because of what you've taught me and showed me out of this book and where we've studied. And Lord, I pray you'd bring remembrance to that tonight. Lord, don't let me preach this mean or self-willed tonight, but Lord, with compassion and love in our heart, and add an instruction, and that to help this dear family as they set out to go to this church and help that dear flock up there, that they might grow and grow and see folks saved for you and live for you and fix homes and fix families. And Lord, I just pray tonight you'd touch and help. Help us while we preach, and we'll give you the glory. Save the sinner nearest to you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we look in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. And so tonight the Lord has put you in a position to oversee and that church. As we find in the book of 1 Peter, he says not to take it by constraint, but willingly. Listen, don't go in there with my way or the highway. Don't go in there and say it's going to be this way or no way at all. I go in there and show them why it needs to be this way. And God has instructed. And by the way, God will instruct you in how to shepherd that church tonight. But he said right here, he said, which made you overseers to feed the church of God. First of all, number one, your position as a pastor is to feed them.
A lot of times we like to shear sheep. Preachers like to shear sheep. They really do. I'll be honest with you. I'm like Brother Larry Seals. He said, man, when God called me to preach and I sat and watched preachers, he said they'd get up and they'd preach wide open. They'd tell people off. They'd come out of the pulpit, go to the back. People would come through, shake their hand, tell them how good they done, and then give them a check on top of that. I thought, boy, that's a good deal. Well, listen, the preachers, you know what? Shepherds only shear sheep once a year. But they lead and they guide to feed every day. So your job is to preach to your church tonight. I'm not going to tell you nothing you probably don't already know. And probably nothing that you ain't already been doing. But listen, you need to study and pray. Find the mind of God. Find the will of God when you stand up behind your pulpit and that to preach to them what God would have you to preach. So I mean, we know that's going to be the Word of God. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And so you're to preach to them tonight. Preach. That's a preacher's job. Preach. Right back. Preach. What did he say to Isaiah? Cry loud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Show my people their sin and is. Well, they're needed. The preacher's to preach tonight. Amen. But to preach, you're going to have to study. Study. You can ask my wife. Back in the day when I was bivocational, I studied. I'd come in from work. I think I've told you this. I took Mondays off a lot of times. I'd read my Bible and try to pray, and that's as far as it went. But the rest of the week, I studied. Try to get something from God for Wednesday night. Try to get something for God for Sunday morning and Sunday night. Because I'm going to tell you something. Your people's going to need something. They're going to need something. I mean, my people need something Sunday in. And so I need something Sunday in and Sunday out. Listen, if you ever get to be full-time, it'll be a little different at that time in your thinking. But you know what it's like to work a public job. You know what it's like to have to deal with things on the job, to have to travel through the world, and you see things and you hear things. And you just need something from God when you come to the house of God. And you just pray, boy, that the preacher's got what I need. And I'm going to tell you, if you get on your hands and knees and beg God, He'll help you. But you need to feed them. But give them the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You can't do what the Word of God can do. You can't get folk to the altar. But if you get them to the altar, it ain't no good. But boy, if that Word of God begins to work in somebody's heart and in somebody's life, it'll do the trick. I've got up here and I have flopped. I mean, just preach the biggest flop of a message you've ever seen. And folk come to the altar. And I'm thinking, like Brother Jeremiah told me one time, it's either I done that good or done that bad and they come and prayed for me. Sometimes it's not us doing good, it's just us obeying God. And I have learned that sometimes when I think I've struck a home run and hit it out of the park, they'll walk out that door back there and won't even say a word to me about how good I done. But I know that I flopped it one time. And here's what the scary part was, Brother Caldwell. On the way out, people was telling me, that's the best you've ever preached. And I'm thinking, my soul. Listen, it's not how good we think we've done. It's that we've minded God and preached the book. Preach the book. Preach the gospel. For it's the gospel that gets sinners saved. I know that sinners ain't flooding into the church. I know they're not knocking the door. If you'll go out and knock on doors and listen, invite them to come, they're just liable to come. And they're just liable to come in and you preach the unadulterated gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I mean, He's alive, seated at the right hand of the Father. And if they'll come and ask Him to save them, He'll save them tonight. Weren't you glad for the gospel tonight? Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2, he said, for I determined not to know anything among you except Christ and Him crucified. And well, that's what gets sinners saved. You know, when you go witnessing, that's all you need to tell them. You just need to tell them Christ will save them if they'll come to Him. It's that easy, no matter where you've been. No matter what you've done. I think about Legion in Mark chapter 5. Boy, I tell you, Jesus didn't care that he was full of the devil. He didn't care that Mary Magdalene was full of the devil. He didn't care about all them, listen, being full of the devil. He just, what was it in Luke 19 and 10? I quoted it this morning. How for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Preach the gospel. Don't ever get away from the cross too far. For it's the cross that'll save sinners. But then you need to preach all of it. I'm talking about feeding your church right now. Paul said in Acts chapter 20, he said, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Do it all. Be studied up. Preach every bit of it. Don't leave nothing out of it. You're going to come to some hard things in this book that you're going to have to deal with. And sometimes you're going to have to deal with some things that you know is going on in your church. And you know that is going on in people's lives. Rire back and preach on it. And don't be sorry for it. Just rire back and preach on it. I remember, I'm glad to have my friend here with me tonight, Paul Henry. I remember when we were remodeling his papa's bathroom there in his house. And Brother Jim, I think he pastored churches around here from what, about 1959 all the way into the 80s. Brother Jim pastored churches around here. And as I'd get ready to go, I was over on a Wednesday evening, and he said, "You ready to preach tonight, son?" I said, "I am." He said, "Now don't you be going shaking no dry feed bag at your church tonight. Don't you be going and shaking no dry feed bag up there." The church is important tonight, and he wants you to feed them. I lose sight of that sometimes. It becomes a job if I ain't very careful. It becomes something that I do if I ain't very careful and lose the importance of it. It's like being saved. We lose the importance of it sometimes if we're not careful. You know, being saved is the greatest thing you can ever be. Amen. Amen, preacher. That's right. Hey, being saved is the greatest thing that you can ever be and the greatest thing that you can ever do, because in being saved you get forgiven. You get peace and joy in your heart and you get heaven on top of that. Amen. But the next best thing you can ever do is tell somebody about Christ and what He can do for them. But you need to feed the church. He's wanting you to feed them and needs you to feed them. Number two, He needs you to lead them. You need to lead the flock. Not only feed them, but then you got to lead the flock. You've got to stand in the place as being a leader. He chose Moses to lead. He chose Joshua to lead. To lead His people, God's people, and that must have a leader. And if you don't take the oversight thereof, somebody else will. If you want to know how to lead, you better pray. Everything you're going to run into tonight, when I tell you, the first thing you're going to have to do is pray. Pray, "Lord, what do I do?" And when you pray, then you listen. So the psalmist said, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." That's what he told the psalmist the Lord did. When you don't know what to do, read and pray. When you do know what to do, read and pray. When there is no answer, read and pray. And then when you've got to make a decision and God ain't been clear for whatever reason, then you take what you know is right out of this book, and that is the place you go, is for what you know is right. Take your Bible and go over the book of 1 Peter tonight, talking about leading. Got to lead. You know, the great thing about a leader is he's not a driver. He's a leader. It's 1 Peter 5 where I need to be. Yeah. You find a story while you're going to 1 Peter. You find a story over in the Bible when Jacob goes to meet Esau. And Jacob didn't want to go meet Esau. He was afraid of Esau. After all that he had done, you know, he took his birthright and he took his blessing and all those things. And then time has went on and they finally get together where they're going to meet. And Jacob sends all these presents out to Esau ahead of time. He's trying to get him happy with him, you know. And so as finally him and Esau meet, and Esau was just happy to see his brother. And he said, "Come on, brother, let's go. Come on, Jacob, let's go." And Jacob made a statement right over there. He said, I cannot go. He said, if I drive the young and the weak, they shall surely die." You can't drive them. You got to lead them. And you're going to learn that as you're leading and as you're feeding, that you're going to find that everybody is on a different spiritual plane. You're going to find out that some are probably more spiritual than you are. That's always exciting. That makes a preacher feel good. I'm saying that with a little facetiously in my heart, but it always does me good when my church people are more spiritual than I am, because that tells me they're trying. So you got to lead. 1 Peter chapter 5, he said in verse 1, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God," well, looky there, "which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock." The old saying is right. It's not, you know, my daddy used to say, "Son, don't do as I do, but do as I say." A lot of preachers like to get up and preach that way. They want to get up and tell folk what to do, tell their church what to do, and then they're not willing to do it themselves. You don't lead by telling them what to do. You lead by doing it and letting them see you do it. You lead by example. You got to take the oversight. Somebody must be in control. It's not by constraint, but by willingly. It's not for the filthy lucre. You know, every time in the Bible you find that word lucre, filthy is in front of it except one time. And even at that time in the Old Testament, that's what he's talking about. He said, of a ready mind, and not being lord over God's heritage, but being an example. You lead through the good and the bad. It's easy to lead when things is going well. It really is. I mean, it's easy to do right. It's easy to lead right. Boy, when everything's going right. But boy, when it's got dark and everything's falling apart around you, it's hard to lead sometimes because you don't know where to go. But you keep leading. You keep your head up high. You keep reading. You keep studying. You keep praying. When trouble falls in the church, you just deal with it. I'll get there in just a second. But no matter what you do, you must lead. You got to lead tonight. The pastor leads the sheep. The pastor, if we go back to the text verse in Acts chapter 20 and look down in verse 29, he said, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Not only must you feed, not only must you lead, but then you've got to guard the flock. The shepherd, when he would bring the sheep in of the nighttime and put them in the sheepfold and put them inside that rock wall where thorns was laying up on top of the wall to keep the wolf out, and where pieces of glass was laying up there on top of the rock wall to keep the wolf out, then the shepherd would go lay down in front of the sheep gate. And the only way in or out, and that comes through that gate. And so that kind of tells you about the Lord being the door in John chapter 1, don't it, over there? John 10, excuse me. But we're to guard the flock. Why? Because the wolf is wanting to slip in. I heard you preaching this afternoon on being vigilant. Not only do you look for the danger, that is, when it's already there, you look for the danger prior to it coming. Listen, the wolf likes to hang around watering holes. What is the church? Well, it's a watering hole, isn't it? It preys on the weak and the sick, and it's going to come in, and it's not going to sound off in harmony. But if you've ever heard a wolf or heard, listen, those old types of dogs, when they howl, they do not howl in harmony, but they howl in discord. You've heard them around the house. They howl in discord. So be vigilant. Be sober. You watch folk. She's going to tell you, hey, you need to watch him or her. I'm not going to tell you she's going to be right or wrong, but I'm going to tell you, you might ought to watch him or her. My wife has better insight on people sometimes than I do, because I want to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. And sometimes by the time you give them the benefit of the doubt, it's done too late. I know that I probably, I don't even know if you remember when you come to my house to talk to me about coming to the church. And I probably look like a big old dud to him, church. I'll be honest with you, because I sat down on my front porch, and you know, I just sat down on the porch. And he's standing out there on the front porch, and he's telling me everything that he wants to do for God, and he's crying in my front yard, telling me that he wants to raise his children right and all this. And I just sat there like a knot on lawn. You know why? I didn't know him. I ain't getting excited about nothing. Not until I become to know somebody. There's a lot of people weep and cry and tell a good story. And if you bite on it too early, it's going to cost you. Make them prove out what they are. You got to guard the flock at all case. You got to guard the flock, because there's going to be some that, as Paul said right here, they're going to enter in and that speaking perverse things. They're going to bring in false doctrine. False doctrine can spring up in your church. Listen, at any time, if you don't keep a hold on things, spend time in your Sunday school classes. There's times that I go down and look what's wrote on the whiteboards. I'll sit down in Sunday school classes and look through literature and see what's being taught. It's important. You got to guard against false doctrine. You need to be standoffish with people that you don't know till you get to know them. If you get a funny feeling about somebody, don't dismiss it. Guard against wrong doctrine. Guard against those that are wanting preeminence. Little John over here, ain't it in 3 John? I always get Diotrephes and Demetrius confused if I don't read it. I believe it's Diotrephes that I'm looking for, ain't it? It is. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. You're going to have people in your church. I'm not saying the people that are here now. I'm just telling you, as that thing grows, you're going to have people that will probably want the preeminence. It'll want it to be about them. It's not about them. It ain't even about us. It ain't about you. It ain't about me. It's about Him tonight. There are going to be those that want the preeminence. Want it to be about them. Folk can sing good. And let me say this. If you get folk that sing good and they sing good and they love God, let them sing. But if it's about them, don't let them sing. Amen. If you got preachers in your church and it's about them, every time they get up to preach, don't let them preach. And tell them why. Guard against it. Guard against what's the world slipping in. What people call church today don't even resemble church in a lot of churches. I still like redback book singing and just plain old King James Bible preaching, because I know it'll get the job done. Be ready to fight if you got to fight. He said in 1 Corinthians 16, watch you stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, and be strong. If it's going to take fight and fight. Draw back and fight. Get ready to fight for what you know is right. Be ready to fight the devil. Be ready to fight those that want to come and disrupt. Be ready to fight those that want to take charge themselves. Be ready to fight against those that are bringing in false doctrine. Now, just be ready to fight, because we got to guard the church. We guard against destruction, against false doctrine. We guard against pride slipping into ourselves. We got to guard against pride slipping into the church. When the church grows, we think that we've really done something. And you know, I've told the church many times in preaching, I remember preaching revival down in Decatur. And I remember on the way out on the second night, everybody had told me on Monday and Tuesday night how great of a job I've done. Boy, I ain't never heard preaching like that. I'm thinking, well, you have too. They had one of the best preachers around. Never heard preaching like that. And man, I got in the car that Tuesday night and I could see where it was headed. I mean, my head just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I got to believing what everybody was saying. And on the way home, I remember pulling out the parking lot of the church, and I remember praying under my breath saying, Lord, if you don't help me with this thing, it's going to get bad. And the Lord helped me with it. You got to guard against that in your life. You got to guard your home. Letting things slipping up in your home. Slipping up in your life.
We need to live just as holy and as pure that we can. Because there's folk watching us. Your people in your church is watching. There's folk in this church watching me. And if I mess this thing up, it could turn out bad. And I don't want to turn it out bad. Number four, not only feed them, not only lead them, not only guard them, but then just love on them. Just tell them the truth. Preach to them the truth. That's loving on them. Minister to their needs. Love on them. Do your job. Tell them that you love them. Listen, I mean, spend time with them. Don't be a preacher that's separated from his flock. Love on them. Tell them that you love them. I'm like Brother Ted Pegram was. I used to love the church. He said, I'll never forget. He said one time, if I could just hug the church up and kiss it, I would. That's how much I love the church. And I'm going to tell you, church is made up of imperfect people serving a perfect Lord tonight. Amen. And you know what? We are all like family. We're all like family. And sometimes I can't stand my family. And you know the shame of it is they can't stand me either. But you know what? We're still family. And we don't get so aggravated at one another we don't quit being family, do we? Well, no. You know what we do? We just work out our differences. We just work out what's wrong. And there'll come some times that there'll be some things you've had it wrong. There's been a few times I've had it wrong. There's been a few times I've said some things wrong. I probably said some things wrong out of this pulpit. But there has been times I've said things wrong to people. I've had my mouth in gear when I should have had it in park. And my brain wasn't driving, but boy, I was just rattling away. And before I knew it, I had done said something that I shouldn't say. Your job is to love on them. You tell them the truth. Listen, it's just like raising your children. You want them to do right. And if you didn't want them to do right, you wouldn't tell them the truth. And if you didn't want them to do right, you wouldn't love them. But you need to care for them. Can I tell you, we do all this stuff because there's coming a day when me and you are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And the Bible said in Hebrews 13, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. There's coming a day when we're going to stand before Christ for the church that we pastored. We're going to have to give an account. You need to watch for their souls. But then if I could say something about Tabor Baptist Church tonight, just as sure as he's to love on y'all, you need to love on him. Because if he's doing his job, he's got a hard job in front of him. Listen, I don't think of it as a hard job. I really don't, because one, I believe I've been doing it for so long, but two, I believe this is what God's called me to do. And he just puts peace and joy in your heart to do it. No matter how tough it might get, or no matter how hard it might get, I mean, just tell him that you love him. Tell him you appreciate him. But pray for him. If you love him, pray for him and his family. Lift them up to the Lord in prayer. I'll never forget right after I first started pastoring, and it might have been 6 months. I remember one of the dear ladies here at the church sent us a card through the mail. That's the first time that had ever happened to me. And I began to really realize at that time that there are people out there praying for me. Spending time on their knees for me. I thought, my soul, who am I? Who am I that somebody would want to get down on their knees and pray for me? And then it dawned on me, I'm their pastor. Pray for him. Pray for his wife. Pray for his children. Don't run him down. Don't let anybody else run him down. Amen. Stop him. If you've got to punch him in the nose, I'll leave the rest of that to y'all. Amen. Don't let him talk about you, preacher. I'm serious. You support him. I mean, not only be faithful to the service, and I'll deal with that here in a minute, but be faithful to him. Support him. Pray for him. See him through. Hey, listen, I've had people in this church fight their family over what I've preached out of this pulpit and take up for me. fight their own family, their own flesh and blood, because what I preached was the truth. You're talking about giving you a little fire in your bones when you got people that just love you and love God and want to do right. And listen, it didn't matter if it was their family that was doing wrong. They were not only going to stand with you, they were going to stand with God. But support him. Egg him on while he's preaching. Preach on, preacher. I remember Mase Jackson made a statement one time while he's preaching. He said, I took my grandfather with me everywhere I went. And he said he'd get in the car with me and go. And he said he'd sit on the front row everywhere I preached. And he said I'd be preaching up a storm. And he said he'd sit down on that front row and go, preach, preach. And he said I finally stopped and looked at him one day and said, I'm preaching all I'm preaching. My tongue is hung out to my belt buckle now. Keep egging him on while he's preaching. If everybody gets quiet, I just keep preaching longer and longer. Ain't that right, brother? Amen. We'll get there. Support him. Be faithful. Be faithful to egg him on. Be faithful to the church service. You know how bad it feels for a preacher to study all week long and then nobody come to service? Spend your time in prayer. And you say, well, it shouldn't be that way. I understand it shouldn't be that way, but I'm just telling you how we feel. It's very discouraging when you spend your time in your study and you pray and you seek God and you try to get what you need and then folk lay out. Let me say this. Let me park right here for just a second. When you're preaching and it is just a handful, if it is just a handful, then preach to them. Don't worry about who ain't there. You preach to who is there. And then deal with who ain't there later. Amen. Get behind him. Get behind him. If he ain't leading in the wrong direction, get behind him and go. Follow. Support him. Pay him. You know what's right for the preacher to be paid? Amen. 1 Timothy 5, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 9, those that served in the temple about the holy things, what do you not know? That they which minister about the holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. What's he talking about? In the Old Testament, did the priest and the Levites not eat off the altar over there? They served at the altar, and what they ate come off the altar. You know, the showbread and all that stuff and the meat that was taken. And then he went on to say, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. I know you work a bivocational job. I know you're bivocational. I know you work a job now. But listen, there may come a time that you get to go full time. You make sure to live of the gospel. But church, take care of him. Support him. Pray for him. Love on him and his family. Guard him. Take up for him when taken up needs to be took up. But then I need to say something to our church. I want to say something to Unity Baptist this afternoon. We don't need to forget them. I mean, they're part of us. And I'm going to miss them. Dearly am I going to miss them. And don't forget them. Listen, they're having revival. It may be an hour away. We need to make our track all the way up to no man's land. I'm sure that's what they felt about coming down here. It's all right, I got a sister that lives in Maryville. I make that trip every now and then. Just don't forget them, church. Pray for them. Call them if you want to. That'd be all right, wouldn't it? Listen, talk to them. Need to support them all that we can. Just because they're part of us, God did choose them to go somewhere else and serve Him. As I told you at the beginning of this thing, me and my wife had a lot of conversations about you and your wife and your family. Because in just a little while talking to you, I knew where your heart was. I knew that your heart was in Pastor, and I could already see it. I could already tell it. And we'd leave, and We'd talk through the week and say, wonder how much longer we'll get to hold on to them. And I knew when Mount Tabor called you, I knew that was it. I had no doubt you were leaving and that you were going. And I want to tell you tonight, I'm so proud. I'm so proud. If I could be proud without being boastful tonight, I'm so proud of you and your family. I am. Old time preachers at your age are hard to come by. Amen. Men that love the book and love God and want to raise their family right are so hard to come by. Right. Can I tell you, Mount Tabor, y'all are going to have one of the best pastors in the world tonight. You got somebody that loves God and want to work for God. And I'm so proud of that tonight. I can't tell you how proud I am tonight.